Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I am Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. It is a Fan Friday. Ben, this is my favorite part of the week. Is it yours? Please say yes. You have to say yes.
Fan Friday with the questions. I do not like the ranking part, as we have previously discussed.
You're right. You are not a fan. Not always. Just this week, you don't like it, right? I mean, there are weeks that are easier. Ben, Ben, we literally pay you to rank people.
Well, that I don't feel comfortable with that. It's very judgy. I like to talk about why everybody will be a good player forever.
You are in the wrong business, pal. All right, Fan Friday, we got a lot of really great questions that we got to get to. But first, we got to rack off these top five wide receivers. We spent all week looking up these wide receivers, studying them, getting you some early information on them. And now we're going to rank them. We're going to have our top five guys going into the season, which, of course, cannot be changed. And these will be our top five guys going into the draft next April. Ben, no pressure, brother. You start us off with who's your number five guy.
Number five, only senior to make the list for me, only upperclassman who's here, which just tells you about the talent that we have in that 2021 upcoming class, technically. But I brought in Texas wide receiver Colin Johnson.
Nice.
If you listen to the Monday pod, you know how pleasantly surprised I was and excited I was about Colin Johnson's film. I think that he, at his size, is a tremendous mover. I love his tracking ability down the field. Makes some really tough, explosive catches outside of his frame. Highly competitive player, good with the ball in his hands as well. I think he breaks more tackles than you'd expect. He is my, I think one of my early hives is Colin Johnson hive. I'm fully there.
My number five guy is Minnesota wide receiver Tyler Johnson. He was one of the first guys that we looked at the beginning of the week. Ben and I went over him, and there's a lot to like. There's a lot still that he has to do to become the wide receiver that I think would be worth being ranked in the top five in this class. But I'm here talking about prospects that I think are right now, if you give me guys, the top five guys that I would bet on, he'd be number five. I think he's got crazy athleticism. We talked about earlier how he might have like a 43-inch vertical, man. It could be insane. He's got great hands. You talked about how he's only been playing the wide receiver position for about 3 years. And so you see his rawness in his game, but you also see, man, flashes of brilliance. And if you can give me those, and we talked about this when we did the podcast on Monday talking about him, give me a good wide receiver coach with this guy at the next level, and I think you've got a star in the making. So he's my number five guy.
I respect it. He probably would have been like seven or eight for me. But I'm learning quickly. I'm not as big of a Tyler Johnson fan as the rest of the staff is. So we'll see what it looks like senior year.
All right, four. Who you got?
I struggled with four. I struggled with three and four, and I struggled with 1, 2 in terms of who I wanted to put where, when.
Okay.
I ended up with Henry Ruggs III at four. And Ruggs obviously has the trump card. I think it's a tremendous trump card. We love what we've seen from him outside of the trump card as well. In terms of his ability to catch outside of his frame, he adjusts the football really well. And as you've well documented, Trevor, just super tough. I mean, really, really just a scrappy young guy. My questions, I'm still second guessing him, man. I still want to put him at three and move my guy down. I left Ruggs at four. I think that these top four wide receivers are all the same, really, really, really high blue chip tiers, really exciting players. Ruggs, there's very little to complain about. There's, I guess, a little bit of size concerns, a little bit of catch radius concerns, and just discovering just how fast is he. But, I mean, clearly a tremendously lightning in a bottle sort of player.
He's good. He's even better than you're saying there. That's a little bit of a hint towards my rankings. I have Laviska Shenault as my number four guy. Such a fan of what Shenault can do basically anywhere on the football field, whether it's an outside receiver, inside receiver, whether he's getting the ball or whether he's just a decoy on the play. He's a guy that you have to have an eye on no matter what. He can impact the game on a snap-to-snap basis with and without the ball like few receivers really can. Even some of the guys who I have listed above him, just because of how versatile Shenault is, he becomes this ultimate decoy no matter where you have him because you can truly line him up anywhere. I mean, Colorado even puts him at H-back and straight at running back behind the quarterback sometimes, and it's crazy where they end up putting this guy in, not only where they put him, the success that he has at almost every position. So, like Tyler Johnson, very much a natural, just a gifted football player. I think that he's going to be a special weapon in the NFL when we talked about on the pod, if he gets with a creative offensive mind. So he's my number four guy.
Yeah, he's my number three. and I imagine that we're going to be in a similar spot with who we're flipping where and when. What Chenault gives you in terms of size and tackle breaking ability is really where I think he's going to be explosive here. I think he's going to be that's where he gets me over Ruggs in terms of Chenault's ability to break multiple tackles, his ability to make multiple players miss, win through contact, and create those yards after the collision yards. Those dirty yards, those hidden yards, I think are really exciting. That's what makes him so thrilling when he gets those short touches, those intermediate touches across the middle of the field. But then also he has a strong deep profile. He's able to go deep. He tracks the ball really well. He's able to stack corners, explosive. Getting off of press coverage, we've seen that he's able to do that as well. And so he's just a consummate player. There's very little that Chenault can't do. It is, as we discussed on the Wednesday pod, a question of how much Colorado's going to use him as a traditional wide receiver and how much he's going to need to be used as more of a gadgety type of player, which might be hard to divorce that from the Buffalo's film, but again, there's just so little that he does poorly. And so Chenault, just a very fun watch because of how he's used, but also just a really good player in his own right.
Henry Ruggs, my number three guy. So much
there it is
to like about his game. The toughness, the speed, the catchability, how strong his hands are. There are just few, and we talked about this yesterday when we were going through his tape more in depth. It's very hard for me to think that a guy who's about 6 foot tall, 180, 185 pounds, could be viewed as a complete wide receiver. But this guy is. Just the things that he brings to the table are crazy. And not only the things that he brings to the table at a well-rounded game as a wide receiver, the elite traits that he is boasting throughout his game is crazy, including the fact that he's probably the fastest man in college football. So, huge fan of him. It's basically in any other class, this guy might be my wide receiver one, but now we get into the top two guys, so I believe that we have the same, but I'm not sure if we have the same order. Ben, who's your two?
Two is Jerry Jeudy. One is CeeDee Lamb.
Oh, yeah, mine's flipped. Mine's flipped. And yeah. Let's talk about both these. You can talk about both these guys at the same time in retrospect to one another, because I'll
right,
do the
same. When I say, like, Jeudy wins, CeeDee Lamb wins, understand, like, I don't think any of these players are bad anywhere. Like, they're, like, wins is, like, a slight edge, right? So Jeudy probably wins working multi-break routes, so working, manipulating one corner, attacking zone gaps in that way of being able to manipulate multiple secondary defenders so as to create the space that's necessary. And he probably also wins with the ball in his hands as far as a rack player. Very elusive, very explosive, has natural speed. CeeDee Lamb, I think, wins at the catch point. I think when the ball is in the air, I don't think there's anybody in college football who's better than CeeDee Lamb. His catch radius is tremendous, and it's out of this world in terms of the plays that he can make. And you heard me wax poetic about it on the Wednesday pod. And so that's where I think he's the strongest in that regard, the ability to track and adjust. And so when we're talking like levels of the field, probably short, both of them are effective, both of them are great. It's probably Jeudy. Intermediate is the same, and then deep, Lamb is the player that I prefer there because of what he gives you elevated vertically. And so I put Lamb as wide receiver one, Jeudy as wide receiver two. I think both these guys are clear top round one talents. I mean, there's no complaints I have about either player. Tremendous, tremendous young men.
They're very good. And, you know, a lot of what you said is very true. They win in so many great ways. Jeudy has some of the most elite footwork I've ever seen. He sets guys up and roasts them just constantly. Every time he gets the ball, if I'm a defender and I'm not all over him, basically tackling him, the second this thing comes in, I'm crapping my pants. Because this dude's about to put me on ESPN in the worst way. And he does it to so many different guys, no matter who it is. CeeDee Lamb, just the attitude about him. I mean, the demeanor, the all-around game that he certainly has, but just that swagger he has about him to be that top dog, that top wide receiver, a guy who's going to take over the game. He's a guy who's got that attitude of somebody that you're going to lean on, that you go to in crunch situations, who has not only the ability, but the focus and that clutch gene to come up with it and make something happen for your team and be a guy that you would invest, what we're talking about here, a first-round pick in. These guys are such game changers at both of these positions. They're so talented, and they are the cherry on top of a really great wide receiver class. And so, not a lot of size, I would say, of the guys that we talked about from this wide receiver class, but I think the impact is still, I mean, even stronger than I've seen in years past when we've got a lot bigger wide receivers. So it's funny, I'm watching some of these guys and I'm like, man, you know, he's not as big as I think he is. And we got a couple of 6 foot guys, a couple of 6'1 guys, not these 6'3, 6'4 players that we're used to talking about throughout the top five of draft classes, but these guys are even better. These guys have better impact on the game. And anytime you can do that, I don't care how tall you are, you can play in the NFL. So, really great top fives. We were a little bit different. I figured we would be a little bit different, but I was glad that we were because, you know, it's always good when we have a little bit
of. Yeah, we didn't have the same. We had over five in terms of same player, same spot.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure if we went down the list, we could get a little bit of different flavors here and there. Fan Friday time. These questions.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Dude, these questions, man. Y'all bring the heat every week. Man, this is such a
summertime,
fun
time, baby.
This is such a fun time. Yeah, summertime on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. It's a beautiful time of year. First question, Dalton Miller. If you were stuck on an island, you get to choose one person from history to be on the island with. Why would it be Theodore Roosevelt? I mean, who would it be and why?
Does from history mean like they have to be dead?
Look, my guy's not dead. I'll go right off the bat. My guy's Bear Grylls. I'm getting off the island. Screw that.
My guy is Mike Leach. We're tracking the raccoons on the island, baby. We're following around the wildlife. We're going to hang out with the cougars. We're gonna talk about insurgent warfare and Sun Tzu while we starve to death.
That...
We're going to eat bananas on the field in front of Chris Peterson on ESPN.
Your answer was much more existentially dreaded than mine. But
you're like, listen, Bear
yours
Grylls,
is a lot more fun.
I cheated.
Oh, I totally cheated, so, you know.
Right, I mean, like, if I wanted to cheat, Jesus, we're walking on water, baby.
Oh, man, that Jesus is a good choice.
What can I say?
Damn. I should have thought of that.
Mm-hmm. What can I say, man? Son of a priest.
Jesus has been way better than Bear Grylls, because, you know, all you got to do is, like, get, like, half a coconut, you know, and, like, scoop it like it's a cup. Be like, here you go, Jesus, here's some water. And he'd be like, all right, bet. And it's, like, wine immediately.
Good ending, right? Exactly. Yeah, like if there's a way to go out, that's how to go out.
And then you could probably, like, you know, take a leaf and he could turn it into like steak, like fully cooked steak. God damn, Jesus, what a great answer. Man, I'm mad. I'm mad at anything with Jesus.
But, you know, when I came between choosing between Jesus and Mike Leach.
And Mike Leach, you went with, you know, Mike Leach. How many Ben Solak clones could DeAndre Swift's dad beat in a fight before he got overwhelmed?
Okay, so. For those of you who are not currently looking at a photo of DeAndre Swift's dad, which I'm imagining is most of you, imagine like B.A. Baracus with arms like times two. And this is the sort of guy we're talking about. Like
dude,
biceps the size of my waist.
Dude's massive.
This is like the 5,000 rats question from the Senior Bowl 2018.
Sort of. So my number is 33. And I know that people are going to think that that's low. And that I should
I think that's high.
So 33, I know a lot of people are going to think it's low, but he's gonna run out of stamina. You know, like even if one punch to your face is going to knock you out, how many times can he throw haymakers? And I've got to think that it can't be any more than 33. I'm going with 33.
I mean, to me, like, okay, he's got four limbs.
Okay, but here's the thing. If he's running at you, if he swings at you with any part of his body, whatever it makes contact with is knocking one of your clones out. So how many times can he swing his limbs before he just gets so exhausted with no stamina? That's what we're talking about here.
We also, okay, I don't know, like he's huge, but like is he just like huge or is he like boxer huge?
I mean, I gotta assume the guy knows how to throw a roundhouse.
Right. DeAndre Swift's dad, Darren Swift. 10 flat.
Good.
Just you know what? 9 single digits.
Jeez, give yourself way too much credit. No, you're not.
And my clones
are
well organized.
No, you're not.
They're phalanx.
What are you gonna do? The flying V? What are you, Mighty Ducks out here?
Yeah, we're gonna like three of me are gonna pick up one of me and throw me as like a torpedo. We're gonna sacrifice that one and the discombobulation in that. Chaos. The other 8 will pin him down.
Would you rather fight a Quinnen Williams-sized Marquise Brown or a Marquise Brown-sized Quinnen Williams? They maintain all of their strength and speed attributes. They just flip height and weight.
So then you would want to fight the Marquise Brown-sized Quinnen Williams,
yes.
Right? Because yes. It would be as strong, but smaller, whereas Quinnen would be huge, but very fast.
No, he's just saying their size is flipped. So actually, no. I'm fighting a. Oh man.
Marquise Brown sized Quinnen Williams,
but
still
he's
very strong.
But a Marquise Brown sized Quinnen Williams means that's a guy who is Quinnen Williams size but runs a 4.2.
No. You just said Marquise Brown sized Quinnen Williams. So it's Marquise Brown size.
Oh, right. Yes. Sorry.
That's the one you fight. The other guy, Quinnen Williams size, Marquise Brown speed.
Yeah, that's terrifying. That's a problem. Yeah, that's terrifying. Yeah, I can't do that.
That's unnecessary.
I cannot do that. Here's an extensive question from Mitch Wolf. Create a soccer team from 2019 NFL draft prospects. Did you write this down? Because I wrote this down.
I mean, I don't know how to create a soccer team.
Oh. Okay. In goal, I got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside.
Good call.
On defense, I got DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown. Get a little chemistry there. Then I got
for defenders.
Then I got, yeah, a little bit. Then I got Paris Campbell and Deebo Samuel. So I need speed. I need speed most of the time, but I've got DK in there with the height and the strength in case the other team's taking a corner and you got to body up their biggest, strongest forward. Then I got DK in there, and AJ can kind of do the same thing. So I've got a little bit of strength there, but then I've also got those speed guys on the outside to keep up with the midfielders that are coming up. So it's
I like Griezmann. Who's Griezmann?
What?
Antoine Griezmann. He was. Yeah.
What about
him? I watched him in the World Cup like 3 years ago, and I liked him.
Okay. Well, yeah, he's good. He's really good. Okay.
What does he play? Defense? He's a midfielder.
Yeah,
guy.
He's like a mid or a forward. Yeah. Okay. I think Griezmann's a forward now, full time.
This is my contribution to this.
Midfield, I got Kyler Murray, Byron Murphy, Jameel Dean, and Hunter Renfro.
Oh, so who's Jameel Dean's backup?
You know, injuries are turned off.
Oh wow!
And then up front, I've got Marquise Brown just for the straight line speed. Play boot ball, just kick it up to him. He'll get behind the defense. And then obviously I kind of need like a diva guy who celebrates a lot when he scores a lot of goals. So that's N'Keal Harry.
Obviously.
That's N'Keal Harry. So that's the other forward.
Oh, that's good. Size, vertical ability, got some headers.
There you go. Yes. See? There you go.
Yeah.
So that's my soccer team that I just built with the 2019 draft prospects. There you go.
Where's Matt Gay? Where's the actual ex-soccer player?
Yeah, you know, he'd be goalie, but I wanted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside there. So I didn't pick him.
I will never move on from Arcega-Whiteside. I have no problem with that.
Eli Rodriguez said, I just finished my first year of college. How am I going to do this 3 more times? Don't drop out. It's not worth it. Just kidding. Yeah. Stay in school.
As a recent college graduate, this is not as fulfilling as I thought it would be. Get the heck out.
Congratulations. Top 5 NFL throwback unis.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. The Eagles blue and yellow ones, unquestionably.
Okay, no. All right, you're done. Okay, you're done.
Okay, so the Tampa Bay creamsicles for sure, right?
All right, I have my 5.
Okay, go ahead.
They are the Bears throwbacks that they wear now. Like they look like the modern Bears throwbacks. The same thing with the Steelers. Steelers number 4. Those like modern throwbacks that they wear.
I don't know what you mean when you say modern throwbacks.
So like they wear the throwbacks, but they're obviously like more crisp colors and everything. Like organized better than like the old jerseys were. Right. They're just like modernized with like updated fabric and Nike wear and whatever. So the Falcons, black jerseys, red helmet.
The black ones are sick.
Yeah, so those. Or even the ones that have the black helmets too. Creamsicles, the Bucks creamsicle are number 2. And then San Diego's powder blue.
Well, can we call San Diego's powder blue? It's now their regular home uniform.
Right, but it's still a throwback.
I disagree, because it's now the regular home uniform.
Okay, well, you didn't even come up with a list, so I'm going to have ultimate control here, and I'm going to say that it's a throwback.
Creamsicles. Eagles Kelly Greens.
Those are sweet.
The Black Falcon ones, for sure.
Very good.
The new Miami Dolphins throwbacks that they're using, those white ones.
Those are kind of, okay, all right.
With the coral detailing, and then... I low-key very heavily rock with the Green Bay Packers throwback ones with the it's like gold and navy blue. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it the one where it's got the circle with the number in the middle?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, Google.
All right, I still don't love it.
Packers gold blue throwbacks. They're clean.
Okay, let me get a refresher. I don't think that I love these. I'm looking them up.
They're nice.
The circle. Yeah, they wouldn't be in my top 5.
They're fresh. They're okay. Well, those are nice.
They're okay, though. I don't hate them.
I also like I like the Broncos throwbacks with the old logo and the heavy orange jerseys.
Those yeah, I like cool. the Broncos throwback logo. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it was sick.
Who is the Rachel Garcia of last year's draft? That's all you, Ben.
Okay, so it's like the – so first, like national player of the year and also like ridiculously versatile. So it's probably Kyler, right?
I was going to say it's got to be Kyler, right?
He won the
right?
Heisman, and he's a true dual threat player. Rachel Garcia was the pitcher for UCLA who won back-to-back national player of the year, won the national championship this year, and is an incredible pitcher and hitter. So Kyler Murray makes sense. And also baseball. So there you go.
Would you rather have Carson Wentz with his injury history,
okay,
Dak Prescott with his coming contract, or Dwayne Haskins and his rookie deal but inexperience?
Okay, this, like, I'm an Eagles fan, but this should be very easy, right?
It's not even close.
It's Carson.
It's not even close.
Yeah, which, like I respect the whole, like, Haskins on a rookie deal, but, like, we haven't even seen a year of Haskins yet. So if you gave me, like, Baker on Baker's rookie deal, then we're talking about, like, oh, like, the ability to save the money, like, that.
Right.
Like, Haskins we haven't seen yet, so chuck that. Prescott's going to get a Carson Wentz X deal, and Prescott's a good quarterback, but he's not as good as Carson, so it's Carson.
Right. Yeah. I think you're totally right. I read this, and I'm like, this is easy. I'm picking the quarterback who I know is good, and that's Carson Wentz. So.
Amen, brother.
This is a really – well, I'll ask this question first. What is the worst offensive scheme to watch a defensive prospect play against? And the same for defensive schemes to watch against offensive prospects play against. Is there any that pop out to you?
Yeah, my first thought right away was like, because Arizona under Todd Rodriguez was awful to watch defensive play against because there was so much going on behind the line of scrimmage. I would say that you could make a similar complaint about Oregon State as well. Like, Oregon State, there's just, like, so little going on. I think, like, any offensive scheme that just, like, leans really heavily into the quarterback run and doesn't have good wide receiver talent when they have to throw the football, it's just, like, you're not going to get significant, like, pass rush film or pass coverage film, and that's what really counts. And so, like, Utah is another one that comes to mind in a big way. If we want to, go outside of the Power Five, you could make that complaint about Houston. You could make that complaint, like, Cincinnati runs a ton of, like, quarterback run stuff. Those are going to be the sort of offenses that are just a nightmare to deal with when you're watching for anything other than, like, defensive tackle or linebacker.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really know any that are, like, popping off in the top of my head, like, when it comes to, like, matchups. I hated watching Michigan's wide receivers on their offense.
That has more to do with their quarterback.
Right, yeah. But that's like that has to do with their own offense. I'm trying to think of one that would be like a frustrating watch. It's not really one that like stands out to me.
Yeah, I think to me it's like whatever offense is the furthest away from what you typically see in the NFL. And like if you're just not playing the Baltimore Ravens, then you're just not seeing
like
90% of the running concepts that Utah is using or Khalil Tate in Arizona are using. You know, it's just like it's just so there's so many plays you're like, all right, well, that was good, but like it's just not objectively interesting right now.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
If you had to field a football team of Avengers, what position is everyone playing?
Caps quarterback.
I wrote this down.
Hulk left tackle. Hawkeye, are we just doing offense or defense?
I did both.
Okay. Black Panther running back, Hawkeye free safety, Black Widow is like H-back probably, right? Thor's playing middle linebacker, no question. Iron Man playing corner. He's got the jaw for it, right? He's got like the smack talk for it, so that works there.
We're a little bit different, but I like this.
Okay, I mean, I'm literally just going right off the top of my head right now. Let's see. Captain Marvel's coming off the edge. That's no question.
I had her at edge initially, but then now I don't.
Oh, what's it like to be a coward?
Okay.
Scarlet Witch. You're like I don't know. Like she's like sneaky, right? She's slippery.
All right, here's who I got.
All right, nickel corner. Go ahead.
Quarterback's Captain America. I mean, Did you see him throw the hammer at Spider-Man for him to catch it and then just go sailing for another like 900 yards? Dude's clearly got the biggest arm. Running back, I've got a committee of Captain Marvel taking the first couple of downs, and then I've got Black Widow as a scat back. Okay. Got a little got a little committee going on there. Wide receiver, I've got Black Panther and Spider-Man, just because those dudes have crazy hops, and basically you can throw the ball wherever you want. Spider-Man can reel it in with webs, so it's kind of cheating, but here we are.
Think about the contact balance on Black Panther, too.
It's I mean, like, energy. Right. I mean, you know, when you were watching him run with the gauntlet in Endgame, I mean, dude's got moves, you know? He knew what to do in open space. You knew how to make defenders
run. Running back, baby.
You know, that's why. Okay, but you know, this is a guy who you get the ball too early, and you know, let him make something happen with it. Run and shoot offense, obviously. I got Iron Man at tight end because he's versatile. He can go out, have some speed, but also if you need him to stay in and block, he can basically put those blocker things down on his feet where you literally just can't move him. So pretty versatile there. O line in no order. I had Hulk, Ant Man because he can turn giant. Winter Soldier, because he could just put out the bionic arm and literally choke you to death and you won't be able to move. Groot, because he can extend his arms out forever and you just won't be able to get past him. And then I have Wanda also on the offensive line, just because I didn't really know where to put her, but if she does her powers, you can't get by her because she's the strongest Avenger.
She is tricky.
So, defensive line. I got Thor playing D-line. I've got Wasp playing D line.
Linebacker.
I know, but listen, I'm trying to fill the whole roster, so you'll like. I don't know what to do with these other dudes because my linebackers, I have Star-Lord, Falcon, and Hawkeye. None of those guys have the size to play in the D line, so I'm running out of options to play D line. So Thor, I got Thor on the D line. Wasp's on the D line because she could also turn really big. Drax because it's Dave Bautista. And then this is cheating because he's technically not an Avenger, but M'Baku is the other M'Baku. D lineman because he's huge.
Glory to Hanuman.
DBs, I got Gamora and Nebula playing on the outside, dynamic duo. And then I got War Machine and Pepper in the Iron Man suit as the two like Iron Man kind of safeties playing.
Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas.
Yeah, there you go, brother.
Yep. Now, Coach. Obviously, Doctor Strange can see
all
the future possibilities.
Yes. Yes.
General Manager, Ned, because he's the dude in the chair behind the camera or behind the computers.
Oh, man.
Come on. That's a good one. Ned from the Spider-Man.
No, I know who you're talking about. Okay. And I'm literally like nodding my head at my desk here.
Yeah, well, Trevor, I can't see you and neither can the listeners. That's okay, why they're called listeners.
Okay. I'm gonna roast it on my own podcast. Who would make the best WWE superstar out of you two, Joe Marino, and Grinding the Tape?
This is easy.
Who is it?
Kyle.
Oh, 100%. That was it's not even close. It's Kyle.
It's the frame and the showmanship.
Oh God, yeah, yep,
right,
yep,
yeah, and that's what it is. Kyle's got the flair for it.
Yes, he does.
I wouldn't be able to take myself seriously.
This is a really interesting question. What is your favorite part about the game of football? I'll tell you what mine is, and the reason why I love covering football so much. It is forever evolving into whatever the game currently is. Like, there's never going to be at any point where we stop evolving the game of football. Because sometimes it'll evolve more towards the passing game. Like, sometimes it'll evolve more towards the running game. Sometimes it'll be about what you do on the line on this side of the ball or that side of the ball or how you plan or counter or what era is dominant in this time versus 10 years ago or 10 years in the future. Football is constantly a chess match that is never ending. And that's so much fun for me to look at innovative things that are happening in the game right now that have never happened before. Looking ahead to what might be coming up next, the things that have never been done. There's always going to be evolution to the game, and there are always these brilliant minds that are coming up and figuring out how to do football and play football better than it's ever been played before. And as of right now, there's no end in sight to how the game is going to evolve and where we're going to go next. And that's truly my favorite part, is that no matter what we're talking about or no matter what I'm learning, first and foremost, I'm never going to know it all because there's never an all to know. You're just going to always be enjoying this game, always be learning this game, learning from others, hearing whatever other people think. That's my favorite part about the game. Obviously, the physicality, the athleticism, it's unrivaled. It's so much fun. It's a game where 11 guys all have to be having the same mission and working together as a team and all this kinds of stuff. And top to bottom, GM, all the way down to the last guy on the practice squad has to have the same kind of goal and all needs to work together in some form or fashion to win a championship. So the chemistry, the ever-evolving parts of it, it's just such a fun game to cover, man. There's so much joy in getting to learn this game.
I think I got, like, I kind of want to say, like, whatever you want to call Nick Foles going from third-round pick to starter to traded to free agent to potentially retiring to hating the game of football to Super Bowl champion, like, whatever that is, like, the story, the meaning, the path, whatever that is, that's my favorite part about football. You know, like,
whatever
it was that, like, kept Shaquem Griffin going to the point where he's, like, inspiring other, like, children athletes who only have, you know, like, who have, like mm-hmm. who've lost appendages or they have, like, you know, prosthetics or anything like that. Like, whatever that is. Like, Laviska Shenault, right, who, like, only started playing football because he promised he would never cut his dreadlocks after his father passed away and the basketball team was trying to make him cut his hair, so he started playing football. Like, whatever that is. That, like, it's the stories, it's the meaning that it confers on people who just, like, need it at tough times. Like, that's, like, the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the game, the belief, the oneness, the goal orientation, whatever it is. Like, that's my favorite part about football, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, the question, and I don't mean to say this to, like, downplay your answer in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Like, he said the game of football, and so when I was thinking of game of football, I was certainly thinking of the game itself, but, like, dude, I'm totally with you. The stories are why we tell all of this stuff. It's why we're journalists, right? I mean, like, we're here to tell the great stories, to invoke emotion out of people, to get people to bring people to feel certain things, whether it is, you know, you're telling a story of heartbreak or incredible joy or triumph or adversity or, like, whatever it is, man. You just, sports bring out such incredible emotion in the different stories that we get to tell from these guys. And something that somebody told me a long time ago and something that I really have taken to heart is that you in your life have experiences that only you can tell. And I think it's our duty to, we're never going to tell all of them, but tell some of them, you know, to people and make sure that they hear those things, whatever the emotion is that it's evoking, you know, hopefully it's ones that make us feel great. But yeah, it's stories are a great part of the game of football.
Dude, I mean, like, it's, I don't know. It's like it's what, there's some things about the games that are ugly, like in terms of like the health of players and the way the players are treated. And like, then you're just reminded of how much it means to like one kid. And that's what always keeps me like coming back to it, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. But I hear you in terms of like the game itself. Yeah.
Which players are you most excited to see in pads?
We're watching the players in pads.
No, like, he's saying, like, when training camp comes around, dude.
Oh, the rookies. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been hearing some really good things about Justice Hill in Baltimore in terms of how he's looked. And Justice Hill, if you remember, was my favorite fit of the entire draft class. I'm very excited about that. For the Eagles, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside of Locked On NFL Draft Hall of Fame, love forever. Has been really, really strong in the red zone during training camp as well. So that's exciting stuff. And, yeah, those are my two.
I guess Brian Burns. Kind of excited to see how Brian Burns pans out. Being
like defensive line suddenly got quite good.
Number 16 overall, yeah. I'm excited to see him. Jeffrey Simmons when he's healthy, but I don't know what he's going to be like when he's healthy. Darnell Savage, too, is a guy who I'm excited to see in pads.
I keep forgetting he was the first safety off the board.
Yeah,
man. That's
I'm really excited to see.
Antoine Brooks, other Maryland safety, who kind of also plays linebacker for them.
Good.
Young man can play.
Good.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, he can play.
All right. Top five Marvel Cinematic Universe villains.
Okay. Number one is Magneto. Anybody can fight me at any time.
Jesus, dude. Can we just stick to, like, the normal movies?
Oh, well, I thought, like, to me, that's in the Marvel, but...
Okay,
whatever, like, you're talking about, like, just the movies?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, like, I don't know anything outside of the 24 movies or whatever it was. So I assume that's what they're thinking about, but maybe not.
Okay, so I think one would be Loki. Two, Thanos. I don't even know if Ultron makes the top five, to be honest.
No, he's not in mine.
Can three be like Hydra from like the Winter Soldier storyline? Because I think like that was just generally really good. But like Hydra's like kind of technically Red Skull.
It's
like Red Skull slash Hydra.
So I mean, what's the secretary's name? Alexander Pierce?
Yeah, good one.
Okay.
I forgot what his name was, but there it is. Four, let's go with Killmonger. And then five, I'll give to Ultron.
Okay. Five, I have Ego, because it's such a weird villain to me.
Yeah, I didn't like the Ego storyline, but it's okay.
It was weird, but I think I'm doing it from intrigue more than anything else. Red Skull is four for me. Killmonger is three. Thanos is two. Loki is one. Loki is, like, so clearly number one.
Right, exactly. But like
Loki's the best villain.
Yeah, and what Tom Hiddleston brought to that character after Thor being not a super strong movie, but Loki being a super strong character,
yeah,
was so key for Avengers. Like, that was the first Avengers movie. They really needed a powerful villain to,
yeah,
to juxtapose six really strong leads, and they killed it. And he was that, like, Loki's role was so critical in the expansion of the universe. So yeah, Loki's a big one.
Thanos versus Ed Oliver, but the only weapon Oliver has is a horse. But the horse has the same powers as Scarlet Witch. What a multi-layered question.
Okay. So Scarlet Witch is a horse.
Okay,
plus,
well,
Ed Oliver.
I mean, I have to say that Ed Oliver wins because Scarlet Witch is the strongest Avenger and would have whooped Thanos' ass by herself.
Right. Well, the question is, like, is this pre-Vision Death or post-Vision Death Scarlet Witch? Because she leveled up post-Vision Death because she got real pissed.
Oh, like Gohan.
Yeah, but I would also, yeah, like Scarlet Witch. And Ed Oliver is technically riding Scarlet Witch, I guess, like into battle.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not like the horse is Scarlet Witch.
This horse just has the powers.
Just has the power of Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. How is she going to do the weird finger things then with hooves?
Maybe she just does it with her eyes.
Okay. We'll give it to them then because they're the heroes.
This is an interesting question. We always hear about GM interviews and who is bad or good at them, but what do they really consist of? What types of questions? Are they scenario-based? Just curious. Well, there are a couple articles that have been written about head coaching interviews, and a lot of that has to do with personnel. I think that a lot of questions that are asked of head coaches in these head coaching interviews are basically like, what can you do with this team? Like, do you think that we could put a winner here? What do you think of this roster? What would you do here? And then a big part of what you go through during head coach interviews is discussing who the staff is going to be. Because ultimately, a lot of these guys get hired based on the staff that they would bring in. Because if the GM and the owner don't trust the staff that they're about to put around them, then they're not going to trust the decision-making even of the head coach. And so that's what goes on in a lot of head coaches' interviews. For GM interviews, I think it's really a lot of questions that are getting to the bottom of how are you as an evaluator of somebody's character? Because you are the one as the GM who is going to facilitate the rest of the front office, whether it is the cap guy, whether it is the head coach or the assistants that are making certain player personnel decisions. You've got to be able to recognize people who are going to do a really good job for your team and truly help you become a collective that wins a Super Bowl. And so I think that a lot of GM talk comes down to, one, your network of guys that you know, guys that you have connections with, guys that you could put in your staff around you to make the cap healthy or bring in the right player personnel people or the scouting department or things like that. But also truly like a judgment of character. You are hiring somebody as a GM whose main job will then be to hire other people. So I think that that's a big deal. You have to be able to correctly judge both character and work ethic if you're going to be a GM.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I've had great insight into what goes into general manager interviews. But I would say that overarchingly, if I were to guess as to a big misconception, it would be that GM interviews are probably a lot less about we want the team to be X, Y, and Z. Like, we want to do the team this way, and this is what the coach thinks, this is how the owner thinks. And probably a lot more of you know, you come in as general manager and they ask, okay, like, what is your plan? Like, what would you do? Like, what have you learned? Because even if I'm not going to hire you, I do want to steal your ideas. And so that's where I like, that's where you start those interviews.
That's a funny way to look at it. Best Alabama player currently in the NFL. I mean, it's Julio Jones, right?
Yes.
And we forget CJ Mosley, Dante Hightower, Landon Collins,
OJ Howard.
OJ Howard. But
no, it's Julio. I was thinking, I was running through the linebackers and the defensive linemen. It's OJ Howard. Yeah. Or it's Julio Jones. Julio Jones.
And this one's for you. This year's draft was one of defense and the Eagles won offense. This year it looks like a lot of skill position is in the draft, and the Eagles needs are at safety, linebacker, D-line, and interior O-line. As they plan to pick near the end of round one, shout out.
Well done.
Are they bucking the trend to get higher ranked players?
It's probably not like clear enough to be like a trend, like a technique, you know what I mean? Like last year was defense heavy, but I'd say two of the better offensive classes were offensive tackle and wide receiver, and those were two of their first three picks. You know what I mean? And so I don't necessarily think it's a trend of zigging where the league zags. You're just going to try to find value wherever you can. If that means, you know, you're one of the few offensive picks of the first round, then you're one of the few offensive picks of the first round. That's okay. You know, so I don't really necessarily think it's a trend or anything like that.
Who is a famous person that's 31 years older than you that you could beat in a fight, and who would you want to fight?
Right. So this is like, there was this meme going around about like fighting because Justin Bieber challenged, who was it, Tom Cruise to a fight?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So in order to be 31 years older than me, you have to be 53 years old. So our options include Charlie Sheen, Helena Bonham Carter, J.K. Rowling, Steve Kerr, Ben Stiller, Rainn Wilson, and Scottie Pippen. I'm here to tell you, I am 100% certain I could beat none of these people in a fight. All of these 53-year-olds would kick my tail. So, who I would probably want to fight would probably be Charlie Sheen. But I feel like he also probably whooped me the worst.
Yeah,
so, like,
dude, he's
not a good situation.
He's whooping your ass, dude.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. It's like, we really, it's, most celebrities are like grown people, and especially 53-year-olds, and I can't beat them up. So, we're in trouble.
Kevin Spacey is 59, which is 31 years older than me, and he deserves to get punched in the face, so I'll gladly do it.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, like, you never want to say, like, oh, you're lucky you got a bad one, but Kevin Spacey is the easy pick.
Yeah, I'm punching that dude clear in the face. Who has a better chance of reaching double-digit sacks in year one, Chase Winovich or Cleveland Farrell?
Farrell, right? He doesn't have – there's just no competition for snaps in Oakland at all. Like, he's just going to be on the field so much. And obviously the fourth overall draft pick and draft caliber means you're going to get a ton of snaps as well. So I'd say Farrell because of opportunity. He's also a better player, but the opportunity is the big one.
I think it's going to be Chase Winovich. Well, not that it's going to be. Sorry. I would say that he has the higher chance of doing it.
Right.
Top five desserts.
Woo. Number one, cookie. Number two, brownie. Number three, ice cream. Number four, pie.
Oh.
Number five, I don't know. I don't really like cake very much. What else is on the table here?
Well, cake's absolute trash.
That cake is full-on garbage.
Ooh, thank you for agreeing with me here.
Yeah, what can I say? Smart fellows on a smart podcast.
Listen, cake is bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, man.
It's lame. It's by far the lamest dessert.
Yeah, it's like I want – I for my upcoming wedding, I was like, listen, just cookies. And my fiance was like, yeah, just cookies. Sounds good. And now we have cookies and cupcakes and cake. And I was like, well, that's not – went exactly how I planned. But
damn, am I invited?
I'll think about it.
Okay.
So I don't know what five is, but cookies, I'll tell you right now, like, I have decent self-control when it comes to food. You put chocolate chip cookies in front of me, I will kill somebody to get to that chocolate chip cookie, man. No worries. Somebody I know, somebody I'm friendly with, don't worry. Suplex. Here we go. Straight for the thorax. Give me the cookie. Man, I love chocolate chip cookies.
I have cookies as five on my list.
Wow, sounds like you suck.
Pie is four, so it's funny we had the same number four.
Right.
Frozen yogurt, three. What's up?
Ooh, good one.
Donuts is two, because a good donut is just peak.
And
then,
it's also not a dessert, but whatever.
Yeah, I guess you're right, but I guess I was thinking like sweets in general.
You're just saying this because you have a vested interest in liking donuts. Because
Alyssa likes donuts?
Yep.
I mean... She also likes cake, and I hate cake, so.
She likes cake?
Yeah, like,
wow.
She was, like, actively mad when we figured out that I
don't
like cake.
Sorry you guys are breaking up. That's really sad.
Number one's cheesecake. Cheesecake's the GOAT.
Cheesecake is awesome. Great one.
Top players over 33 years of age in the NFL.
Drew Brees, Tom Brady, other really good quarterbacks.
I got Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Cam Wake, Frank Gore.
Cam Wake is probably Cam Wake is got the extension and I mean
freak.
Beyond deserves it.
Absolute
he's such
freak.
A good player. He's very underappreciated.
Absolute freak. Ben, are you a video game guy? I can't remember.
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Somebody asked what my top five video game franchises are. For me, that would be the Skate franchise, number five, mainly just because Skate 1. Madden would be 4. NFL Street is 3. 2K would be 2. And then the Call of Duty franchise would be 5. I've poured so many hours in the Call of Duty franchise. It's crazy. Here, we'll do this one. This will be the last one. What are your favorite sports to play, to watch on TV, to watch in person, and then to follow on social media?
Honestly, like, and this is like, I watch other sports and I enjoy other sports, but it is probably football. Like, football, college football, in terms of like following on social media, because college football fans are like psychopaths. But...
Yeah. I mean, watch in person. Okay. So, my favorite sport to play, I think, is soccer. To watch on TV is probably college football or just football in general. Watch in person is either college football or hockey, and then social media is basketball. I think that basketball's coverage of social media,
yeah, basketball social is definitely
really wild. Really fun. Yeah. So
it's probably football, college football for me. And like I said, I enjoy the sports. It's just football's always been in a different echelon for me.
All right, there we go. That's it. Fran Friday wrapped.
The Bowl best Fran Friday. Ever.
That's the best Friday Fan Friday we've ever had. No question about it. Absolutely
it
zero debate.
Never, ever be topped again on a day that does not start with F.
Ben, what are we doing next week? Are we doing tight end and O-line? Are we doing just tight end? Are we doing just O-line? What are we doing?
I'll be honest with you, Trevor. I do not know. We're going to look and see how many decent enough tight ends are to look at, especially upperclassmen, before
okay.
we make that call.
We might do like tight ends one day and then offensive line the other two or three days or kind of mix them up there. We might just get some line work however it comes out. So we're going to cover tight ends and offensive line regardless, but we might cram it into 1 week because we are trying to line this up with when I believe training camp starts, and so we got to make the math work as well. So whatever it is, we're going to be coming to you on Monday with some fresh scouting takes. Until then, you keep it locked right here on the Locked On NFL Draft.